Thank you, Duff. That's fun as post-mortem. The $50 voucher goes to Anthony, who helped us out. Anthony on the open line. Well done. Courtesy of tab.com.au.
Can the Aussies knock the Poms off their perch? Share the excitement when Brazen Bow, Criterion, Wanjina and Sharmil Wins challenge for international supremacy during Sky Sports Radio's coverage of Royal Ascot from June 16.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse proudly introduce a high-quality filly. Buy more than ready. Gay's trained his best from Vintage, a Group 2 winner of 6 races.
No one would know more about More Than Ready than Gay Waterhouse. This is a particularly feminine filly, but she's got great bone for both. She walks in a remarkably determined fashion. She's full of promise, and I like her enormously.
Join our dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit our website or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
Hi, Viv Richards here. Now is the perfect time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. Let's start with Coco Joy 100% coconut water with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk in classic chocolate, coffee, and banana without the dairy. And what about Coco Joy Kids featuring the magical Disney and Marvel characters? Latest in the range are Coco Joy Oil and Flour. Magic in a jar for guilt-free cooking. Discover Coco Joy's range of products at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Sky Sports Radio's weekly trots program On the Pace honours the remarkable career of John Tapp this Tuesday. For over 50 years, Tappy has been one of the most iconic voices in Australian racing.
But fair dinkum, this is another tullock. Kingston Town is going to run out a very easy winner in the cup.
On Tuesday, Tappy bids farewell to his radio duties as he retires from broadcasting to become a full-time trots trainer.
Koala King left the gate like a flash, and look at old Paleface go.
Don't miss a very special On the Pace this Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Right now, Toyota Material Handling has a great offer on forklift rentals. Rent any forklift for 6 weeks or more and get an extra week's rent free. It could save you hundreds. Toyota Material Handling is Australia's number one in new and used forklift sales, short or long-term forklift hire, and all forklift servicing. Call Toyota Material Handling now on 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Terms and conditions apply. Offer ends August 31.
Bloodstock.com.au is Australia's largest online racehorse trading website, allowing you to quickly and easily trade on your former favourites to help fund your next champion. Bloodstock.com.au helps sell horses across all categories, from tried horses and broodmares right through to weanlings, yearlings and even stallions. List your horse today for only $99 and receive inquiries straight away. Head to bloodstock.com.au, the simple way to trade every day.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. They're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
10:04. Good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrave and Trent Langsow from tab.com.au with the Tab Talk today. Morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Cosy, for a Monday.
A big week coming up. We've got Damien Brown joining us in a moment. He rode 3 at Ipswich on the weekend, but it's a big week in racing with Royal Ascot kicking off the top hat and tails over there, old fellow.
Yes, and the final fields have been confirmed for the day one races, which will be tomorrow night, our time, into early Wednesday morning. And we'll just mention the two that we've had open for quite some time. The Queen Anne Stakes will be 11:30 tomorrow night, and Solo is the $2.40 favourite, Able Friend at $2.90, Knight of Thunder $6, and then Tormore $9. So that's the Tab Fixed Odds for the Queen Anne Stakes. And then Wednesday morning at 12:45 is the King Stand Stakes, where Soul Power is the $4.50 favourite, Muthmere at $5, Shamel Wind $6.50, Mecca's Angel $7, and then you get out to G-Force at $13 and Pearl Secret at $15. So they're the Tab Fixed Odds for the Queen Anne Stakes, which will be tomorrow night at 11:30, and then early Wednesday morning at 12:45, the King Stand Stakes. And then later on in the week, we'll see Criterion on Wednesday night our time in the Prince of Wales Stakes, and then early Sunday morning our time, so Saturday night and the Sunday morning, we'll see Brazen Bow and Wangina in the Diamond Jubilee Stakes.
At this stage, is there a market open on those for a Brazen Bow and a Wangina?
Yeah, well, for Criterion, he's an $8 chance in the Prince of Wales Stakes, still all in, and then there'll be final field tomorrow morning once the field is confirmed for day two at Royal Ascot, and still all in on the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. Brazen Bow is the $3.50 favourite, and Wangina is a $10 chance. You've got Mustaji between them at $7.50. So looking forward to all of the action at Royal Ascot. There will be some races where there's more than 24 runners, so the tote betting won't be available, but fixed odds will be available on all of the races at Royal Ascot over the 5 days.
All right, wonderful. It's 10:05, as mentioned, Damien Brown. Sorry, you were going to say, Trent? Oh, the basketball, that's what, that kicks off shortly, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Game 5, not too far away, it's on ESPN, so we'll quickly go through the odds for Game 5. Golden State Warriors, $1.25 at home. The Cleveland Cavaliers at $4.25. The series is tied at 2 games apiece, so a pivotal Game 5. In line betting, the Warriors are giving away a 9.5-point start. The over-under line is set at 194.5 points. In the margin betting, the Warriors by 11 or more at $2.05, and then 1 to 10 at $2.40, the Cavaliers by 1 to 10 at $6.50, and 11 plus at $17. The NBA winner, it was pretty much a flip of the coin before Game 4 when Cleveland had the 2-1 series lead, but then Golden State, they had a big win in Game 4. So now Golden State, $1.22 favourites with Games 5 and 7 if necessary at home, and Cleveland at $4.25. So the coverage is on ESPN. It's not too far away. Game 5, you'll be able to bet live 3 up by calling 133-390. We'll have Game 6 in Cleveland on Wednesday our time, and Game 7, if necessary, would be back at Golden State on Saturday morning our time.
All right, good on your tent. Now, Damien Brown, be patient. Hanging on. Morning, Damien.
Yeah, morning, Sean.
Congratulations on the weekend too at Ipswich. Gee, you had a ripper day there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great day. I don't venture out there too often, so it was great to go over there and get some of their spoils.
Now, I did read a report as to the reason why you don't get there. Why is it normally?
Well, I have been suspended at Ipswich Cup time the last couple of years, and I don't generally ride there during the week that much because I obviously ride here on a Sunday at the Sunshine Coast every week, so... So 3 or 4 days pulls me up every week.
It's a tight track for those people who may not be aware of it, and that had the rail out a bit before this, which made it like a bit like a velodrome swinging for home. But it's an interesting track to ride at, isn't it?
It is. Look, they've had their problems there, obviously, recently with the track conditions. They've had to postpone quite a few meetings. But, look, the track raced really well on Saturday, and it's full credit to the curator there.
Now, Smoke and Joey, what a terrific horse he's been. Wes Hutter's done a marvellous job. And I think his instructions to you almost were, don't ride a pretty race on him.
Yeah, look, that's probably some of the best instructions you can get from a trainer because it's pretty easy to do sometimes. So, look, Wes obviously knows the horse very well. And he just told me don't be any closer than 3 wide and go early. So, thankfully, everything worked out.
He's been an amazing horse. He had a lot of problems and wears through massage and so forth. I suppose almost like human treatment. Has done an incredible job with him.
He has. Look, he's really reinvigorated the horse and he's had some great success with the horse. And, you know, obviously, Sean Wes knows the horse very well. So, yeah, he's done a great job.
Now, did you get many instructions from Chris Muntz, being an ex-jockey? What's he like to ride for?
Yeah, Chris is pretty good to ride for, obviously. He's been there and done that, and he knows what it's like. But it's just great to see the excitement that he's getting out of the training, and he's making a good fist of it at this stage.
It is good, because often it doesn't translate successfully quite often. A good jockey doesn't necessarily mean a good trainer, does it?
No, it doesn't. Obviously, it's a lot of different behind-the-scenes things that jockeys don't normally get to see, and he's obviously picked up a lot of things riding for some great trainers over the years, and he's now translating that into his training, and it seems to be working well.
Now, Damien, you've had a terrific run here in Australia, and you've been one of those jocks who you sort of, I suppose, fire with a rifle and not a shotgun. You'll just sneak down with Robert Heath, get Buffering Wurr and those sort of horses, come to the Melbourne carnivals, whatever, and travel around the place, and you've had a lot of success.
Yeah, I've been probably Johnny on the spot a few times and been lucky to pick up some great rides for some, you know, top trainers, Godolphin and Peter Snowden and things like that have supported me also. So, you know, I've been very lucky with the support I've got and had luck with it.
It's interesting these days with the carnivals, as you're saying, you're based at the Sunshine Coast, but you can still live there, but yet ride at the carnivals anywhere around the country. And as you said, the Godolphin and Peter Snowden and those have been more than happy to put you on.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Look, I probably get to live both the lifestyles, really. I get the ride in the big races and still live in a beautiful place on the Sunshine Coast. So I've got the best of both worlds.
Now, Damien, you must wake up in the morning and go to ride work at the Sunshine Coast and think this is just a shade warmer than what it would have been back home in New Zealand when you kicked off.
Yeah, certainly. That was one of the reasons we moved over, because I just got sick of the cold and, you know, we don't have to put up with that anymore. So, look, we've been here for probably 12 or 13 years now and love it. So, this is home for sure.
Where were you based in New Zealand?
In Christchurch. You know, and obviously they've had their troubles in the recent years with earthquakes and that too. So, personally, it was fortunate I got out when I did.
Have you been back since the earthquakes there?
I've been back a couple of times and, you know, it's not a pretty sight for a city that you really love and to see what they've gone through. But they're slowly rebuilding and hopefully things can go on for there for them.
It was such a beautiful city, so English, and the river going through, absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, look, like I say, it's a real, real shame for what they've had to go through, but like Kiwis do, they all banded together and they're moving forward.
Now, Damien, making the switch to come over the ditch, how difficult is it to get a foot in the door when you arrive in Australia?
Oh, look, obviously it's very difficult starting off. There's great trainers, great jockeys here, and you know, you just got to work hard and keep at it, and it just takes time.
The relationship with Rob Heath, it's been a good one, a long one?
Yeah, I've been riding for Rob pretty much since I first got here, and you know, as his stable has progressed and he's climbed up the training ladder, he's been able to take me with him in some respects. So we've been fortunate to have a couple of good horses on the way through and have some feature success.
Now, one feature that you've got is that you are not frightened to ride cold. And I think we'd talk about Wurrum at Caulfield one day and those sorts of runs. You just sit there and you'll wait and you'll wait and you must have a lot of patience.
Yeah, look, I'd probably miss the kick on Black Caviar, I think. But, yeah, look, it seems to suit my riding style. I like to sort of let horses balance up and find the line and, you know, trainers recognise that and put me on horses that they want ridden that way.
It seems to work for some horses. I said, like Smoke and Joey, Wurrum, they're probably classic examples of it, aren't they?
They are, you know. There's a lot of horses have got different racing patterns and that's why a lot of trainers nowadays don't seem to have as much of a stable jockey, because they like to get jockeys that suit particular horses. And so that helps me in that respect.
Actually, Damien, these days, do you find trainers burden you with many instructions, or are most of them pretty good and just say, look, you know the horse, or we'll tell you the horse's idiosyncrasies, you do what you've got to do?
Well, I think with the technology out there nowadays, jockeys can do form a lot better and they're able to know exactly what's going on in a race, probably more so than before the technology arrived. So jockeys do enough homework that they know what to do, and the better ones are for sure, and the trainers will let them do that.
All right, now this week you got you're heading to the coast on Saturday?
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Having, I think, their first ever Group 1 there, and it's attracted a great field, so it should be a great day's racing.
What's your book of rides look like at this stage?
I've got a couple for Peter Snowden there, Dublin Lass and the Tiara. She's racing very well, and I expect her to run well. At this stage, that's about the only ones I really know of at the moment, but hopefully I'll pick up another couple of good rides.
All right, terrific. Well, look, congratulations on the weekend at Ipswich. Three great rides there, Rock Royalty, Wicked Intent, and Smoke and Joey. Let's just hope it keeps rolling on through the winter and no more suspensions here that you get to turn up at the races.
Yeah, that would be great, Sean. Thanks very much for having me on.
Good on you, Damien. Damien Brown there, he's made a big impression, hasn't he, since he came across the ditch and rides a lot for the Snowden camp and Darley, not frightened to put him on, you wouldn't be either.
Very successful on Saturday there, Cozzy. So it would be going pretty well if you followed Damien Brown around Queensland. And as you talked about as well, remember him on Wirram and a couple of those runs down in Melbourne, particularly at Caulfield. So one of the better jockeys going around, Damien Brown.
Too right. Now we'll come back and take a look at the AFL in a moment. The interesting round. It's 10:15 at Sky Sports Radio.
And here's the kickoff. We're underway.
On Sky Sports Radio, your Sunday mornings are now sportier than ever. That's because from 6 a.m, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend brings you 3 hours chock full of sport and racing. Join Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith, along with all your favourite sporting experts, for the best weekend wrap in the country. The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. 6 till 9 Sunday mornings, right here on Sky Sports Radio, your sports and racing leader.
Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. 50 months interest-free. That's zero interest and no deposit until July 2019. Technology, entertainment and home appliances. Furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free store-wide. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2019. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Go!
Time to get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
It's 16 past 10. Neil Cordy joins us now to look at the AFL for the weekend. Morning, Neil.
G'day, Sean.
What about the Demons Saints game?
It was a beauty. I saw a fantastic tweet last night saying that Paul Roos was run over by the Karma bus. Because remember a couple of years ago, he described the last 44 seconds in a Richmond game where they managed to lose the unlosable as the worst 40 seconds of football he'd ever seen. And, well, he might have just claimed that title himself.
It was like watching an episode of The Greatest Loser, wasn't it?
It was compelling, compelling football and TV to watch. And it was... I guess Melbourne will be really sort of going over in their minds what they needed to do. Clearly, some of the things they needed to get numbers back behind the ball. They also needed to stop Jack Stephen from getting a clear run from off the edge of the square to get the vital clearance. And I think a general awareness that they only had 40 seconds left in the match, and it didn't seem that they were aware of that.
I mean, where do they go now, Melbourne? And on a serious note, they've taken Paul Roos there to try and build them up to get them going as a proposition that can be handed over to another coach, so to speak. Roos has said he'll go there for a year or two. They've improved a little, but they haven't improved much, have they?
Oh, they have. There are. I mean, the big plus for them was Jesse Hogan, who kicked a career-best 5 goals. And to have a key forward in the modern game, they are so valuable. You can see why the Giants were so quick to re-sign Jeremy Cameron. Any team that's contending has to have a key forward, and they've got one. Not every club has one. We look at Essendon, who again struggled to score more than 10 goals in a match. I think it was for about the fifth or sixth time this season. It's a really valuable commodity. So Melbourne do actually have some things to feel positive about for the long term. And they do have a lot of young players coming in. And that could have been a factor there in that last 40 seconds as well.
As long as they don't keep playing any more matches at Etihad Stadium this season, I think Melbourne will be happy. 21 in a row yesterday, and that was probably the worst way to lose it of the lot. We'll have a look at the earlier match from yesterday. GWS, they were up against Collingwood, and the Magpies did win by 42 points, but the Giants, they were really there in the second quarter, perhaps a lack of composure, but in the end, they suffered plenty of injuries, and that led to their downfall.
Yeah, really. There was a story going around that they had to ask the Collingwood bench for an extra set of crutches because they had that many blokes that were injured. There's four that were injured in the end. Of course, they lost Phil Davis to what looks like an ankle injury, and he didn't come out after halftime and was subbed out. Then, not far into the third quarter, there was a massive clash where Joel Patfull got hit in a a marking contest from Matt Bunting, and he went off to hospital to check his ribs, and he didn't have any part in the game. And then, of course, in the last quarter, they lost Steve Canelio to a shoulder injury. And then their gun, Ruckman Shane Mumford, also rolled his ankle. So they got big issues with a game coming up against North Melbourne next week. But the Pies really look good. And the key for them, in my mind, is Travis Cloke kicking straight. If Trav's got his kicking boots on, which he has had the last few weeks, he kicked 7 last week and another 5 again. That's really putting him in good stead.
Neil, it's fascinating. He really had the yips there for a while. He couldn't put it through the big sticks, and it always astonishes me. You don't see tennis players belting it out off the court all the time. You don't see a golfer going into the rough every single time. And it's a similar style of skill. It's a racket. It's a ball sport. Yeah. What is it with AFL footballers when they can't kick straight? They're shocking.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because of all of the advancements that we see scientific and technical and skill-wise, kicking for goal remains the Achilles heel of the game. And I think basically it's a psychological thing that, when people can kick the ball very well around the ground, but when you get in front of those big sticks, they tend to get a little bit nervous and spray them a bit. But it is a conundrum.
Now, it's interesting, GWS, we've said all along how much promise they show, and that's been evidenced yesterday. With all the injuries, they still played brilliantly, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. There was a patch in that second quarter where they kicked the first 3 goals of the quarter where they looked like they were really going to get a hold of Collingwood, and then they wrestled it back. They probably wasted a lot of opportunities. I think Will Hoskin-Elliott had 5 shots on goal, deliberate shots on goal, and ended up with 4 behinds and 1 miss. So they missed their chances when they had that period of dominance, and in credit to the Pies, they worked their way back into the game and got on top. And then when, of course, the injuries came after half-time, Travis Clayton kicked 4 of his 5 after Phil Davis went off, and they really sort of started to move then.
While there's all the injury problems from yesterday for GWS, Neil, Sydney, they don't have any of those issues. They head into their bye with a 9-2 record, and they managed to hold off North Melbourne by 16 points at Etihad Stadium last Saturday night.
Yeah, they looked very, very good. And Buddy Franklin, we all know what a fantastic goal kicker he is, but again, we got to see some of his outstanding defensive work. We saw a critical, because in the very sort of close dying minutes, he ran down Robbie Naha from behind, and I think he made something like 7 or 8 tackles to go with his 4 goals, which included the sealer just before the siren. So Buddy Franklin's travelling well, and so are the Swans. You're to be seeing there at 9-2.
Well, at the moment, in terms of the Premiership, Hawthorn, they are the $3 favourites, but Sydney at $3.75, and they have firmed during the weekend. You've got Fremantle at $4.50. Then there's a gap to West Coast at $13, Collingwood, Geelong and Richmond all at $17, and then Adelaide, North Melbourne and Port Adelaide at $34. The Giants are 100-1. But Sydney, is there a way, Neil, you can actually say they're going quietly about their business? We've talked about Fremantle this season, how well they've played, perhaps the struggles of Hawthorn, and now to a lesser extent Port Adelaide. But Sydney, apart from a couple of blips, they've really gone along beautifully.
Yeah, they have. The two losses they've had were one to the Dockers in Perth, where they gave them a real scare, and they lost that one by 14 points. And then, of course, the famous upset by the Western Bulldogs, where they got them at the SCG by 4 points. So they've only had 2 losses, and they haven't been by big margins, and they're tracking along really nicely. There's a few pluses for them. They've got Isaac Heaney, who's a real X-factor player, to come back into the team. Tommy Mitchell's secured a spot in the starting 22 and has really established himself in the midfield. He's averaging about 28, 29. He's in the top 10 possession gatherers in the competition on weekly average. So they found another player at him. So there's improvements there on last year as well.
And there was a little bit of laugh as well on Saturday night. I don't know, going back to your days, whether anyone stood up to John Ironmonger, but when you had Buddy and Boomer Harvey just getting into a scrap, it was almost like Boomer was a little puppy just gnawing at his ankles.
It was a funny image, wasn't it? The shortest bloke in the game. And not only is Buddy tall, he's got a massive reach on him. So it was like one of those comedy things where he's, you know, holding him out on his forehead and he couldn't get near him.
The tail of the tape would be interesting, wouldn't it, to use a boxing term?
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Neil, yep. Just a couple of other results over the weekend before we look at round 12. Geelong, they showed plenty of determination on a Friday night and a few more question marks over Port Adelaide. And speaking of one of the West Australian sides, West Coast, they just heap more pressure on Essendon with their 50-point victory.
Yeah, they do. The Bombers have got real problems. They what are they going to do with their ruck? It was an interesting choice for them to go to take on Nick Nakamura and the Eagles without a ruckman. They dropped Tom Bell Chambers, and so they're looking for a ruckman, which is very important. And they're also struggling to hit the scoreboard. Joe Danaher's been showing some promise, but he's still a young and developing player. So that goal scoring is a big. Big problem. I just heard Tim Watson talking about Essendon's problems on the radio. They've become really stagnant and really struggling to move the ball well, and they're a slow team, which sets them up to be the way opposition teams set up their defences to really put themselves under pressure. So they've got some big problems. And of course the Asada saga continuing on. I think it's really showing itself now and starting to take a toll mentally.
It seems to have been the biggest whack of the lot, this Asada business. Now it's come back to bite them again, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, they thought they were in the clear, and they'd done so well. The fact that it dragged out for 2 years before they thought they had a resolution, they thought they were up the hook, and now they know how much harder it can still be.
Now, what the footage they showed on the weekend, and it seems amazing, 20 years since the legend himself, Teddy Whitten, the late E.J. Whitten, was taken on a lap of honour of the MCG, and that wonderful footage when he went around with his son, Ted Jr. And at the time, couldn't see, and he was describing to him all the way where they were and what was happening in the stands.
I saw those images again myself, and being an ex-Bulldogs player, I knew Teddy pretty well, and it was a very, very sad time for football when he passed. And those images of I played with Teddy Jr. is an absolute ripping bloke, and those images of him going around the boundary line at the MCG are ones that sort of stay with you for a long, long time.
Yeah, magnificent.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be there that day, Neil, with my dad and. Yeah, not a dry eye in the house there at the MCG when Victoria took on South Australia in that match. So, and we'll see that tonight with the coverage on Fox Footy in different television shows. Just quickly, just some of the matches for round 12. Just the odds for Thursday night at the Adelaide Oval. Adelaide $3, Hawthorn $1.40. Friday night at the MCG, Richmond $1.70, West Coast $2.15, and then the twilight match on Saturday at Spotless Stadium, where the Giants are unbeaten from three games this season. GWS now $2.45 and North Melbourne $1.55. Just your thoughts on that match, Neil, just the Giants, how they're going to have trouble, especially against Todd Goldstein.
Yeah, absolutely. If Shane Mumford's out, that'll be the crunch in or out for them. I think he is the most likely of the four, though, to play. He does give himself some chance of playing on the weekend. The problem for them, though, of course, is that they do only have a six-day break. So Todd Goldstein was absolutely magnificent, and Dominey put another fantastic display on against the Swans. So if they go in without Shane Mumford, you'd have to really like the Kangaroos. And they really need to win this one because, you know, they're playing well when they're starting to drop those games and the equation's getting more and more difficult as you head into the back end of the year.
All right, now, Neil, good to catch up. We will have a yarn with you next week, and it's a bit quieter, isn't it, with the bye?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I'm going to grab a couple of days off and then go and watch the Giants and Kangaroos. So it should be good.
All right. Good on you, Neil. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks a lot. Neil Cordy, always great to catch up with him. It's almost 10:30 for the tip-off in the basketball. Now, what's happening there, Trent?
Yes, they're in the first quarter at the moment, Cozzy. So, once again, you can bet live by calling 133-390. Just quickly tonight, round 14 of the NRL at Amy Park. Melbourne, $2. Parramatta, $1.85, with the Eels giving away a 2.5-point start. The margin betting at the end of normal time, the Eels by 1-12 at $3. The Storm, 1-6.